saying, Jerry, if you'll be here tonight, in service of our Lord, to represent His Son, Jesus Christ, to you. The way that He is dead at Calvary, His atonement for you, for the healing of your body, salvation of your soul, for joy and happiness. I believe it's written in the scripture, one of the writers said, above all things, I would that you prosper in health. And now I pray that God will let every sick person in here tonight be well. I'm sure it's the will of God that all of you would be well. He wants you to be well. If you and I can only have faith, if we just sometimes wonder what that great article, faith. What is it? You know, to my surprise, and I say this with reverence and heart, hearing this, I would say something wrong. I find that about 80% of the people that say they believe just have hope instead of faith. Faith is just so sure, it's positive, it never moves, it's just got to be. Faith is an element. It's the sense. It's the sixth sense of the human body. It's the one sense. The human soul has two senses. Well, other than that, five senses control the human body. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. And the inward man has two senses. That's faith and belief. One of them governs. We come to a place, so I'm wondering seriously about this, that if we really, if we're not claiming the borderline in folks, don't you think so? Borderline Christians? Do you believe there is such? There is. They're afraid to walk out into the deep. Borderline. Just as long as you can walk. Recently, when coming from Africa, while I was down there, I haven't time now to tell you, but the Lord told me to go a certain place and do a certain thing. And the management of the itinerary they had set was altogether contrary, and the man didn't understand. They just wouldn't let me do it. I said, all right. Look, we'll suffer, so I went and prayed again, he gave me permission, and told me I'd suffer over it. I did. The whole party did. I suffered worse. Was a parasite. And we found out later, we went down, what the Lord told us to, there'd probably been 200,000 souls saved in the meeting, more and more. Mr. Jackson, which is here at the meeting somewhere from South Africa, knows all about it. When I tore all of the trees, threw it before the Ministerial International Group and said, thus saith the Lord. If we shall not go that way, if we do, we'll suffer. It's not right to go that way. We should go from here to Johannesburg straight to Durban. They couldn't understand it, of course. But I went in then after I see the detail of it. Won't take but just a moment or two, maybe. 10-15 minutes. When we landed at Johannesburg, I didn't know very much about South Africa. My wife said, well, probably at the last of this, and I told her, I said, you're right, honey, Johannesburg, Southern Rhodesia. Durban, Southern Rhodesia. Durban's not in Rhodesia. It'd be like writing the Zion, Canada. It's another nation. Rhodesia is another nation, South Africa, where Durban is, but I don't know, the Lord sent me to Durban because that's where Miss Florence Nightingale was healed. She went back and I promised the Lord that I would go, if that's where I was always going. When I got over to Johannesburg, Brother Baxter and was waiting for me there, and he said, here's where we have a meeting. About 20,000 people were all around the place there, and by the time I got there, I don't know how many was out in about 20 or 30 miles out of town where they're taking us, where the meeting was being held. The first time I was so worn, I'd been in the air for 3 days. When I come down, I was tired, worn, no sleep. You know how it is, them bouncy planes over the seas and so forth. Thank you, sir. And so then when I got down there, well, I just walked to the meeting and just got in, and there were tens of thousands of people together in there everywhere. Been waiting 3 days for me, all together now. As soon as I got in, I saw Jesus just break before me. And there come a boy with one leg, about 6 inches shorter than the other. I seen men come down normal. I looked around and see where the boy was and seen him sitting. We hadn't had time to get out no prayer for us. We couldn't call a prayer line. My, not in that kind of crowd. I said, young man, Jesus Christ has healed you. You've come over here from Durban. He's made you well. Stand up on your feet. There, his leg was perfectly normal. The headlines in the paper, the boy, the reporters went and measured his leg to see him testify of his father and mother. There it was. The next day, then there's a little lady laying there in a cot. I said, I see an automobile, one running this way. It crashes as a young lady gets her back broke. I said, here she lays here, your back broke three places. She said, that's right. She said, will I ever get, I said, I don't know. I stood there just a moment, look. I see her going, waving her hands and talking to her friends and back forth. I said, stand up, Jesus Christ has healed you. And her mother said, no, 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 she can't stand up. She could die. Remember, better be careful. With a broken back, one move and that's all. Remember, a troop, a state troop can't move you on the highway if you've got a broken back. That's right. You have to lay there. That's the doctor's decision. Now, but the, and a woman was laying there with her back broken three places and hadn't moved for months, just laying like that. I said, Jesus, the healed you. And she raised up on her feet and screamed, began jumping up and down and praising God. And another fainted and fell in the same bed that her daughter was laying in. So that started it. And then, of course, they had a medical affair there that the medical association had had an awful time with. Well, I give them my analysis of that. What it was and what was, what I thought was truth. The old man kind of just run shut behind the door to me, but that don't stop God's word from being true. So I laid it up, and the next morning early, the medical association called up and wanted me to have breakfast with them. And they gave me the right hand of fellowship and said, that's true divine healing, and we open our hospital to anything that you want on your name. I said, thank you, sir. I said, you've already done that more far as now and half, and make sure you come over here in 50 years. I said, thank you, sir. I will try to do all that the Lord will permit me to do. I said, Reverend Branham, we believe in divine healing like that. And that way, that's truth. And I said, thank you, sir. So then the next day, the Dutch Reformed paper, which was, oh my, the Dutch Reformed church. I'm nothing against you, Dutch Reformed people, give me. But that's a state church, and they're really horribly against divine healing. And so, but here their paper was carrying articles of it, everything, front pages, and one, 2 pages of it. And the next day, there was one Dutch Reformed minister who was farming. No one said I was a spiritualist, a devil, under disguisement as a Christian, and imposing myself as a Christian man, working with the spirit of the devil, the reason I would know those things. Well, it kind of stirred his buddy, so he went to see me. And he said, you're wrong, so this was the day of our visitation. The other fellow said, the one was forgiven, he said, that man is of the devil. And he was, this other said, I'm going out and pray for your lost soul. So he just turned around and walked out in the yard and there's a little peach tree. And he knelt under the peach tree and said, oh God, I accept every word the man has said. But I believe it's the truth. I know no one could do this except it would be by you. And I believe it, and my friend in there is going to be lost. And said, it's the day of our visitation, and have mercy on him. And he said about that time, before he'd ever heard about it, here come that pillar of fire moving down through that bush. And said the pillar of fire opened up, and the angel of God stood there and walked to him and laid his hand on his shoulder. Said, return and tell him. And he jumped up real quick. He runs to the door all excited, said, the angel met me right there and said, come tell you, and began to tell his buddy about, say, put his hand on my back, and said, it just almost burst come through me. Said, I tell you, it's going on like that. And this Dutch Reformed minister had to look around, and there was a scorched place the size of a man's hand laying right across his white shirt, right across there, I got the shirt. There it was the next day in the paper, headline, This just before men says, the eyes closed out like that, look at the man's back, and they took my hand and put it on the man's back, and just exactly fit the fingers right around exactly of the left hand where it used to be. Well, we had the favor of everything, man. Then Mr. Baxter, my beloved brother, comes and tells me, he said, Brother Brandon, we got an itinerary. We got the way down, we caught first off through the pain, all the way down through that way and back up, and then over to Durban. So it doesn't matter to me, we're over here for so long. Doesn't matter, all right. That night when we went in, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the angel of the Lord came to me and said, tomorrow, you're going to be down in the city, and you're going to see an odd-dressed maiden standing by the side of a place, dressed in purple. Call Mr. Schooner's attention, and tomorrow morning, while you're sitting at the table, when you get up, tell there's going to be something happen. And so then you tell your manager, Mr. Baxter, that he's going to point out to you a very odd-looking bird. See? And it says, they're going to try to take you up here to a doctor that's got cancer. He thinks cancer on his hip, but that it is not cancer. The doctor just made a mistake and cut something loose there, and a man's going to die. And on your road up, said, you'll see a Navy beach sailor. There's lots of them set along the road, but tomorrow there'll only be one. And you all will turn and come to that Navy beach sailor, and said, you'll know her. Said, she's a young girl, about 14 years old. She's got a big skin plate way back her scalp like that. And said, by that, you shall not take, you'll know that you shall not go down there with that man. You stay right here for 2 weeks. You go up to Mr. Jackson's farm as you were going up there hunting, and then go to Durban. And stay to Durban till I call you. Next morning I got up, repeated all over. Mr. Baxter, right here listening at me now. And Mr. Jackson, which is sitting close. Brother, are you here, Brother Jackson? Where are you at? If you ought to raise your hand and so I'll know. I've been saying, oh, here, certainly, right up here and all that. That's right, Brother Jackson from South Africa. Right there when the meeting was going on. The next day, sitting at the table, the Lord spoke to me and told me about little Andra, his little girl, about what was wrong with her tonsils and what had taken place and so forth. Mr. Stuman, first, he didn't kind of understand too well. He just dropped his sword. He knew that no one knew that except right there in their own family. And now the Holy Spirit was revealing all about his family and what they had done and all along like that. Brother Baxter sitting at the table, listening. And I said, now, we shall not take this itinerary down this way. The Lord told me to stay here for 2 more weeks and then go over to Mr. Jackson's farm and go hunting with him for rest up for about 8 or 10 days and then go to Durban and stay there until he called me, which should be about a month, I'm sure. Not knowing then that Durban was the only place that wasn't segregation, all these others are segregation. You think about the South having trouble, and you ought to see their trouble there. Now, so I told them, and the next day, Brother Baxter, which is present, and Brother Bosworth, and all of them, one day, Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Brandon, to me, so that's all right. But it's a national committee, you have to see them. So I told Brother Stuman, so he'd know. I said, now, today, if you know Brother Stuman, we're going to the city, and there'll be a Navy dressed in purple. And I said, what? I said, a Navy dressed in purple. Never seen one yet. He said, all right, you'll see it today. And I said, he'd be standing by a park. I've never been in Johannesburg in my life. And I said, he'd be standing by a park like this where cat a corner, cut this way, the road goes this way, and a lot of benches setting along like this. There's people above it with flowers on the streets down. He said, I know where the park is. And I said, but we'll pass by that today. Well, Edgewater said, you want to go down? Well, when all we got busy about that, he said, you want to go down? I said, yes. I went out with him in his office, and when we were coming around for his office, I said, Brother Stuman, you see your name standing here inside that park? So what do you know about that? And so then, as we got back up there, what does that duplicity mean? Not David. Justice Duplessis, which is one of the smartest men there is in South Africa, in my opinion, and a real Christian gentleman. He is one of the sponsors of the meeting on the National Committee. He taken me in a month, and we went up to Victoria. And on the road up, Brother Baxter was along, and they were driving about 60 miles an hour up the road like that, talking real quick, and he He said, well, the Archdeacon Salesman belongs here somewhere. I touched Brother Baxter. And so we went on up and said, we'll find some beasts and heroes and so forth. Went on up and we just passed by. I looked and asked up the little lady sitting on the side of the road, a little colored girl with her skin placed on her head. I thought, that's the girl. I just see what they're going to do now. He went way on up the road and said, have a look, and just about half a square above the same. There's one of the salesmen. Squeaked on his brakes, come back. I looked at Brother Baxter, and it just looked like he didn't think of it at that time. Turned back around. When we got in there, I said, Brother Baxter, don't you remember this? Said, yes, there it is. There's a little, the only one on the road, and that's 29 miles. You know, Brother, they sit on the road everywhere there, so they'll know it's the only one on the road, just like he told me. Never been in the country. Just been there about 24 hours. And so he said, now, and there's two of us sitting there with that. And we went back, and Brother Baxter taking his camera and took a picture of the Navy. We go on up. Sure enough, there was the doctor with that in his hip, just as after, like I said. And then the following day, we were out on a place that was Brother Baxter's, his officer that he told me he would look at. There it was, just the same way. Then he come and said, we're going, got to go down there. Well, Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Brown, if it was in America, I'd have the jurisdiction and I'd say no. Said, but we're over here at the mercy of these people. They don't understand, so now I'm with you. 100%. But said, now, to make these men understand it, tell them something different. I said, well, whether they understand it or not, I know what the Lord told me to do. I'm going to see what he said to. So, next morning, here come the cars. Got to go down to Clarksville, a little place about 4,000, 5,000, or something like that. Something on that order. Leave at Johannesburg, it was about 350 or 400,000. To leave that just a 100 miles difference. But as I've always said, if you want to get muddled up, just fool with preachers. And that's where you sure get fixed up. Not all of them, but I mean just to get a bunch of men. They promised Brother so-and-so that they'd have us over to his place, and Brother so-and-so, they had to come down there. Now that's all right. But Brother, when it comes to leading of the Spirit of God, you follow God. And so they said, oh, we must go. That's all. So they loaded up the car. God's still sitting in there. I wouldn't go. I wasn't going, no, sir. So they said, you've got to go. You must go. So I, well, all right, I got it. Well, started down the road. As I kept going down, the Holy Spirit kept condemning me. You better not do that. I said, God, if I ever go crossing your line like this, but I'm down here, what am I going to do with the mercy of these men? It kept getting worse. I said, stop the car. Stop the car. Up come the different cars, the man, and Billy Paul, my son, and Mr. Sackcliff, and all, Mr. Bosworth, and a bunch of the committeemen, and all of them come up. Now, this is Mr. Schumann. There he is, and Brother Baxter is in another car. So when I went to call him, he refuses to go. Said, you had to go talk to him. I said, I ain't going to go farther right here. This is, the Lord done told me to go back, and I can't do it. And they said, well, Brother Graham said, look, they kind of got a little huffy about it. And I said, don't you think God speaks to somebody besides you? One of the committeemen said. I said, Korah had that idea one day and told Moses that. But the earth opened up and swallowed him out. I said, I don't know what he told you. I can't judge that. I know what he told me. Well, he said he told us to make that itinerary. I said, he told me not to take it. Well, now you do. If he told you to make the itinerary, go ahead. But he told me not to do it. Well, the argument got worse and worse. Finally, Brother Baxter came over. Brother Baxter said, Brother Brandon, we're coming to spot here. He said, I wish that you would not say about going up on that hunting trip. Said that, now, Brother Baxter is a sensible, sound man. And he's looking at it from as sensible standpoint as it could be. He said, look, if you keep saying going hunting, those ministers are thinking that you come down here to go hunting, and half of them down here don't even believe in going hunting. And say, thousands of people laying under sick, ready to die, and you talk about going hunting. I said, Brother Baxter, if I never fire another gun in my life, if I never walk into a field again in my life, I said, that's not holy conscience. I said, I am only doing what God said do. And I said, that is, and I'm just following out orders. I said, you've been with me enough, Brother Baxter, to know that when I tell you what God is going to do in the name of the Lord and tell you it's a vision, he said, Brother Branham, is that truly a vision from God? I said, yes, Brother Baxter. He said, then from henceforth, I take my hands away from it. I said, I won't have any more to do with it. So it's a vision from God that we're closed up here, but said, now if you make your move, I'll stand by you. But all right, Brother Baxter. Well, I trust with him after a while, no. Well, finally, it's getting 1 o'clock, people's waiting, and when we let down the road, I'm mispronouncing them to a truck stop, but something on that order. Close enough that you know what it was. But when we got down there, there was enough people, the city was swamped, and there's no place for them to sleep, there was nothing. Beautiful day. They take me out to a minister's house, and Brother Faree, a very fine Christian brother, soon was set on the table by his wife. The Lord told me what was wrong with his wife and how she suffered and healed her right there. She's never been bothered since. And God in his sovereignty, yet he out of his will, God will bless his gifts and callings are without repentance. And so then we stayed there a little bit. And that night they got the meeting all ready to go. And when there come time to take me to the meeting, there's come a tropical storm and I could drown the whole bunch. And at 10 o'clock in the night, they couldn't even get any near the place. Just, you haven't seen a storm yet. You see one of the tropical storms. Lightning, it's just lightning in the room almost, the constant flash of the lightning and glory, and there it was. All right, no service that night. Well, the brethren, I come back, I said, I told you. The Lord said, don't come down here, I'm out of his will. I've got to go back to Johannesburg. Well, we just can't do it. Now we promised brothers, these brothers that we're going down here, we got to do it. Well, there you are. The sin be on you. I said, remember, I was there, no money, nothing. I was in an awful condition. No money to carry my meat on myself. And I was just coming up against it. So then, I said, well, we waited that night. The next day, broke off, praying at night. And just about the time for the service, there come a blizzard. Like the phone's in a body today. Come on back to Billy. I said, didn't I tell you? I said, now, tomorrow night we'll have an earthquake. I said, we're out of the will of God, brethren. They said, you mean we'll have an earthquake? I said, I don't know whether we will or not. I just said that. There'll be something happen. We're out of the will of God. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're still going heavy at it. I said, finally said, now look, God has told me to go back to Johannesburg and stay there for 2 weeks, go up to Brother Jackson, and then from there to Durban, and from there I'll go home. They, oh no, I said, well, we got the favor with the newspapers, with the medical association, with everything, and thousands of people where they could eat and everything, and a place to stay, and here they're laying out on the prairies, no place, nothing to eat, and drowned and everything else, and us out of the will of the Lord. I said, can't you see it, brother? Well, we promised to do this, though. But well, they were mad at our trying to keep their promise to their brother. But, brother, that's the reason in my meetings tonight, we'd be set like four robbers and rest of these fellows. They know where they're going 2 years from now. If they don't die, they can set their mind must be led day by day, meeting by meeting. Wherever he says go, I gotta go. They tell me right tonight not to be here tomorrow. I wouldn't be here tomorrow. And if he told me tonight to stay here a year, I'd be right here a year if I had to stand on the outskirts of Zion. And wherever he says go, that's just where I go, that's where I stay till he says go. It's got to be that way. I can't set a terror. I can't tell you where I'll be the next day. I don't know. I make no promises. We're supposed to go out to Chicago next week, if the Lord will. If the Lord doesn't permit it, if he speaks to me tonight, say, stay in Zion, I stay in Zion. As he met with me tonight, he said, one day I was down there in St. Louis, Missouri, just last time. And I've had a good meeting. And that very night, the Holy Spirit come in and said, leave St. Louis and go back to Zion. And I left St. Louis the next day and began the following day in Zion again. You remember? You see what the Lord did? Follow. So then, one into the night, we went arguing. I said, nope, going back tomorrow, right back to Johannesburg. Well, what were we doing when we got to Johannesburg? I didn't have money to come home with it, and coming home would be wrong. I suppose we stayed there in that meeting. Who's going to back it up? What are we going to do? Oh, I was in an awful fit. And it just seemed like, I said, all right, as Paul said as long ago, you should have listened and not have loosened the street to cause this trouble. So I said, I've got to have the permission, well. But I never perfect will. And always. If I don't want to work secondarily, I want to know what he wants me to do, and I'll go do it. And so we learned. Then when he heard God's permissive will, oh my, that settled the thing altogether. Well, I went into the room. Yes, we all went to a different room. I went to my room to pray. Billy, my boy back there, was sleeping with me. We had a couple of beds off one side. Brother Jackson, I guess you did a bit of reading, know where the beds are. That's next out to the room. And Billy and I went in, we went to pray. And when we went in, Billy, my boy, put his hand on my shoulder and said, Daddy, don't you listen to that bunch of preachers. You listen to what God is telling you and not that bunch of preachers. If I ever got wisdom from a son, a man, or a good or a son. And I said, honey, I'm all tore up. He said, look, Daddy. I said, we'll get home some way. I said, honey, the thing of this is going home. It's the idea. I've got to go back to Johannesburg and take this meeting that way. He said, Daddy, I'll stay by you. And I know Brother Baxter will. So he said, you just remember we're with you. And so I said, you pray with me, Billy. Of course, he got sleep. He just been a kid. And he crawled in the bed about 1 or 2 o'clock. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he came into the room. I felt him. And moved over the side of the bed. I said, who are these men and what do they mean? He said, go on. I said, go on. I said, they've got you tied into it. I said, go on. But remember, you'll pay for it. He said, you'll know. And he said, now, if you might know that you have my permission to go, tomorrow morning, you go wake up your boy. God honored Billy. He said, you go wake up your boy and tell him that tomorrow morning at Sunday school, when they have their Sunday school meeting in the morning, it's going to be a pretty day. And it's raining, cloudy, and bad then. He said, but it's going to be pretty. Sun will be shining, you'll be warm again. He said, you, they're going to stand, and Brother Baxter's going to stand for you to come pray for the sick man, the meeting's so delayed. It's to be there 3 days, anyhow. That if the meeting's so delayed, he's going to send your boy back to get you to come pray for the sick. So be ready and go. And said, then when you do, that your son is going to come at you with a young man in a little black car. And on the road back, on the road to get you, he's going to pick up another young man. That's contrary to the rule. But he's going to pick up another young man. And on the road going back, that he's going to call your attention. There'll be a maid in a white sapphire suit standing near a eucalyptus tree by a bridge with a stick fixed to strike another maid. And said, by that, you know that I give you permission to go. But remember, you'll suffer for it. So, when I come out of the vision, I went over and I woke Billy up. And I said, Billy, the angel of the Lord has just visited me and told him what he said. I walked into the room, and I said, Baxter, Billy, now listen. And I walked into the room, and here it was proved, friends. Listen, don't miss this. I hope they never deal with you like that. And that man, I was born to this end as a different person. I guess I've been odd and misunderstood. Your life might not be like that, but this one thing I do know, you do what God tells you to do. Don't pay attention to what anybody else says, you do what God says. And be sure that you know it's God. Not some imagination or some feeling, you be sure it's God. Then follow God's right. He'll take you where he wants you to go. So, we walked into the room, Brother Baxter, Brother Bosworth, Mr. Sackcliffe, which is, I believe, his present tonight. And those men were sent us, at least two of those men present now. They were all sleeping in a room over to the south, the four of them in a room, or the three of them, rather. And I walked in the room and I said, brethren, I have thus saith the Lord. I said, we are doing wrong when we're going down to Kimberly, Blackstock, and Bloomfontein, Cape Town. We're doing wrong. The will of the Lord is for us to go back here and come down, go back to Johannesburg and go from there over to Brother Jackson and from there over to this Durban. And I said, but he gave me his permissive will this morning and gave me these signs, and I told him what he told me. And I said, it's daylight outside now, it's a pretty day. And I said, these things shall come to pass. But remember, it's not the will of the Lord. How many of you will spread God for affliction or do? Do you believe him to be a good man?
Yes.
And he's as close to me as my daddy. But yet, in fact, Brother Bowser, who stood to my side, who stood in the pulpit, who preached of this gift, who built platforms, who constantly speaks of it, said, I'm 70-something years old. I never seen it, never read it, anything like it, since the days of the apostles. Believes in me with all of his heart. He raised up and said, Brother Brandon, you're wrong. It's the will of God for you to go there. I said, Brother Bosworth, it is not. He said, well, Brother Brandon, he said, I'll read one time more Satan give Adam a false vision. I said, Brother Bosworth, you're a daddy to me. But I said, well, this is not a false vision. This is from God. My honor and my ministry, my reputation, not only mine, but the name of the Lord rests upon it. And I said, it's wrong. He said, no. He said, if you go that way, you'll see the exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask to think. And I turned around. I looked at Brother Baxter, he was rubbing his eyes. I looked over Brother Stafford. I thought then, there it is. No matter how close an individual is to you, you can't trust the eye of the flesh. I don't care if it's your mother. You remember one time where he was a prophet and all that, another one and he prophesied, God told him what to do, and he said to one of his ministry, 13:13. And this prophet told him, the Lord said to come back here, and he minded the prophet in the spirit of God. You know what happened? He lost his life. Both of them prophets. No matter who they are, you do what God tells you to do. Before I left, while preaching the street for one day, the Holy Spirit fell upon me and said, thus saith the Lord, there is a snare set for you in South Africa. Was anybody at the street for me? Let's see your hands. Is anybody up to 314 here before I left here? Let me hear that prophecy. All right, I guess there's not up in this little group anyhow. But I didn't know it was among my brethren. Now, the thing was, we went on. And as soon as we got to Kimberly, there was the next stop. There was an elderly man there, an old man, a good man. But there's thousands of people, and that old brother said, no, sir, you're not going to have it out anywhere but in my church. The church holds about 400 people and about 10, 12, 14,000 people there. But he yet had to be in that church. Brother Bowser grew up and stuck his hat, said, ridiculous, that's a shame. I said, that's the exceedingly abundant of it, but all. I said, you understand? He said, oh, I never heard of that. And so Brother Baxter the same way, both of them went out and rented a big place. Alright. That shows, you see, went on down along the trip like that, trouble set in everywhere. And never had the meeting until we got up there to anyone knows that knows Brother Jackson, you know, the meeting was at Durban, where we had nearly 100,000 gathered out and 30,000 converts in a day. And that was the only place it was that down along the road. We all got sick. Every one of us got sick. And when I come home, I almost died. I had amoeba, the parasite, a little animal, gets into the intestinal tract, in the stomach, like a little barnacle, stick there and stuck till it, well, it takes its course in about so many hours, after it gets into the bloodstream, if it comes on the liver, burst, you live. If it goes to the brain, burst the heart, you die. There's nothing you can do about it. And I walked the floor and prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried. So my eyes were swelling and my wife had to leave me to breakfast. No answer from God at all. One morning I ran under my hand behind my head and said, God, what can I do? Falling off weight, getting thinner and thinner, worse and worse all the time, nothing. Getting worse, worse, nothing to be done. Worse all the time. One morning I went out, oh, God, what's my future hold? I guess this is the end of the road. I'm perishing. I'm sorry, I repent.
spoke to me, please witness right now, and when it comes to that one, I said, if I take that temporary stuff, saith the Lord, I'll not even be able to have a meeting between 6 months and a year. If this is the 7th month or the 8th month thing. I asked him, when he says anything, it's the truth. I'll lay my life to it if it's the truth. Then, coming back to my place, I was walking the floor about 3 months ago, or hardly so much, walking the floor one night crying. I laid down, went to sleep, and woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, oh, God, what will be my future? What will happen to me? Well, I said, oh, if I only about 5 months suddenly pacing the floor and crying, wondering, people standing everywhere, well, I couldn't even leave the house. And there it was. I said, oh, what will I do? Then I got a little buddy that in the doctor's hair lives just across from me, went to school together. When he heard about that, he said, Billy Graham, mercy, boy, God will be merciful to you. But he said, there ain't nothing I'm going to do. And I said, doctor, what am I going to do? I'm in my favor back to God again. I said, I stepped across this line. One morning later, as I said, about 3 o'clock, I was rubbing my head. I thought, what is my future hope? And about that time, I felt something move into the room. Get your memories ready now. We're telling you something's going to happen. He came into the room. I knew it was him. I lay real still. Come moving, I can hear it come going. Like a last of fire, I can move down into the room, come where I was. Just then I seen one come walking to me. He had paper, something like typewriter paper, just folded like this in his hand. He walked up to me, said, as you were meditating upon your bed, what would be your future? I said, yes, Lord, I have wondered what my future held. He took a paper like this and creased it. He said, look at there. There's a scribble over some of the land, but a great stack of it. He swung it like that and went well out of sight up into the heavens. He said, it is clear. I came to myself. I sat on the side of the bed and I said, oh, God, oh, please, speak. Oh, if I found favor with you, Lord, please, what about these amoeba? What's going to happen, Lord? I said, please, if in your great heart, if my sins are forgiven, will you speak to me? What about it, Lord? I said, I'm laying here, just about to die. I said, I've trusted you, I've believed in you, I've called others. I said, won't you have mercy? By that time, I felt something coming again. Come back into the room, move down toward me. But as I was thinking about that, it shall be no more. That settled it. I came here. I don't care how anybody said that. That is all. And I said, Father, I never did have it. It's usually one at a time. This time there were 5. He said, last at them 3 until about 6 in the morning. And he said, you come back again. And he said to me, he said, you've been wondering if people have been telling you about, criticizing you about your meeting. And I said, yes, Lord. They tell me that Oral Roberts and these other men pray for 500 while I'm ministering to 3. And I said, you told me to do this. What shall I do, Lord? Shall I pray for the people in line? He said, just as you're led. And it left me again. And I walked up and down the floor a few moments. I said, oh, God, I'm so thankful to you. I appreciate you. Here it comes again. I felt it come in the room again. And he taken me in the spirit, set me down out there in the middle of that racetrack, right in Durban where I was standing. And I've seen that Durban meeting going fading off into history to my right. Geographically, I was facing the south, just like I was in Durban. And it was going fading to the west, going away, turning blue, that group of people. And right in front of me was sections, just like this was set tonight, but looked like streets. And there was great crowds of people. And then he came and he turned my head like this, back over to the east, towards India. And there were tens of thousands with clouds on, dark-looking men. They had their hands up in the air. They were praising God. They were jumping up and down and screaming and praising God. Thousands of them were receiving Christ. I said, wonderful. And about that time, I heard something coming right above me, and here come down a great the people. You're standing packed in. I said, oh Lord, are all those black men? And then turning back to this group here in front of me again, there were beautiful white people standing with their hands up in the air like this, praising God. Then he turned me back again like that. And then the angel come reading here, and I can tell he was in here, and I heard the number that he called. Remember this? He said there's 300,000 of those in that family meeting. And I came to myself, I heard his number. Remember, I'm going to hold a meeting somewhere east of Durban. I believe in India, that'll consist of 300,000 people. That's before it comes to pass, if you might know. Just as I have said about the little boy being raised in Finland, many of you heard that testimony. Before he even left the United States a year before, that little boy being raised in Finland and so forth. Now remember this. Then I raised up my hands to bless God. And when I did, look, come here, here come my Bible. It was turned over to about a call in the storm. And then the leaves begin to turn back, this Bible. And it went back to Joshua, the first chapter. And something began to read the chapter like this. My servant Moses is dead. Now rise and go over this Jordan. Then these people, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I be with you. Only be of a good courage and breath, and very be strong and very courageous. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. And I raised up, and I reached from the Bible to the air, and I reached him. I said, where did he go? And about that time, I heard my wife knocking at the door. She come through the room. She said, Bill, has something been wrong? She said, at 3 o'clock this morning, the baby was fretting, and I come in to wake you up. And said, when I come out the door, and my wife is a very spiritual woman, but this is the first time it ever happened in our home. She's very quiet, pious-like person. And she said, I started going to the room, and something said to me, don't go in there. There's a vision going on. And she said, for 3 hours, I sat in the chair and rocked the baby, waiting. I said, yeah, honey, I grabbed my Bible, a big Bible there, and wrote out the vision right quick on the fly leaves in there, which many some of the houses read it. We went out for breakfast. My mother-in-law, a very saintly, godly woman, lives just below me. Here she come running up the house. She said, has anything happened up there this morning? She said, this morning when I got up, I went to the sink to wash my dishes from my side to get ready for breakfast, and son said, go up to the other house. Something has happened. I told the vision. I turned around, I had his breakfast over, I went out to get my check stuff that was used for a meeting last year about the income thing. And I went out to the bank, went on back, they had them ready for me. I was going by, oh, tell her, said, hello, Brother Graham. I said, hello, hello, hello. Went on back, picked up my stuff and started out, and I started walking out like this, and something said, stop. And I thought that was just, you know, I didn't get an impression on that. Stop. I waited and I looked at the people. Nobody was looking at me. And I said, Lord God, you know, I can get an impression of that. Stop. I waited and I looked at the people. Nobody was looking at me. And I said, Lord God, what would you have me do? And I backed up in a corner like this, kind of waiting in there with little stuff, my little briefcase on my arm. Oh, what would you have me do? He said, look at Bob Dennis. I thought that was just Bob Dennison. I looked over and he was standing up his head down like this. I know Bob real well. He's teller there. And I said, well, that was just... But it wasn't. It was gone. I stopped a minute. I walked over and I said, good morning, Bobby. He said, hello, Brother Brown. He said, Margie Morgan was in here today. I said, he feels cancer. I said, yeah. I said, how are you feeling, Bobby? Tears roll around his cheeks. He said, Brother Ben, I got something to tell you. I don't know how you're going to take it. I said, well, go ahead, Bobby. Tell me. He said, most all my people died of cancer. He said, I've got every symptom of what they had. So I've been worried to death the last 2 days. He said, Billy, I don't mean to cause you any trouble, but said this morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up in the room and I dreamed a dream that I should tell you about. I said this morning at 3 o'clock, he had me up. He took hold of my hand. That was the last of cancer. I never had any more symptoms of it all. I mean, just one when I was down home, like 2 or 3 days ago, I said, how are you feeling, Bobby? He said, Brother Graham, I'm a different person. God still rules and reigns. He's Jehovah. And there is none like unto him. You believe that? Let's read some scripture. I love you to testify all night, but let's read quickly out of the 4th chapter of St. John. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would go down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down here, my child died. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he, how did he begin to amend? He's going to get better, in other words. And they said, yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said, a son liveth, and himself leaveth his whole household. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Jesus spoke the word. The father wanted him to come and lay hands on him and pray for him. Jesus said, go on, your son's going to live. And the father believed what Jesus said. Now, what if he had not believed? It would not have happened. He believed. And let us believe tonight what Jesus said. Will you? Listen. Here's the word he said in Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it. It shall be given. You believe that? Watch the order of the scriptures. Believe now when you receive it. Now when you believe you got it, you have no evidence, there's nothing here to show what you got it. But you believe you got it, and you keep believing it, and it'll be given to you. You believe that? Let's ask him for a glorious meeting. Let's together as all you believers with me. No matter who you are, you step across God's line, he'll punish you. David was a man in every heart, but David reaped what he sowed. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we know this one thing, that the Holy Spirit is in here tonight, confirming the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing to pass those things which he said would be. Dear God, I cannot be responsible for the faith of the people. I'm responsible for preaching your word and for testifying and telling those things which I know to be true. Thou knowest. You know about the African affair. And Father, I believe tonight that the children stand in the pulpit here tonight on this platform, that there is soon a time when you will be with me and will help me in Africa or in India. Be near me now. Stand by me tonight and bless me and keep thy loving wings of mercy over us, making an atonement for our sins and trespasses, forgiving us of all things, and helping us to live for you and forgive every sin in the building tonight. Take all skepticism away. And may the power of God have preeminence tonight and be predominant over all unbelief and drive back the enemy and pour out your spirit and heal the sick and save the lost. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. With me, that God will manifest Himself tonight in this group together, and let people get healed. There's only one thing that keeps you from being healed. If I read the Bible right, and I believe I have millions that agree with me on the scripture, that the only thing that keeps us from being healed is a lack of faith that is of our hearts, right with God. Is that right? If he was wounded for our transgressions, by his stripes we're healed. Look, I noticed one time a fellow kept coming to my church. And I say, all who wants to be remembered in prayer, if they'll become Christians, stand up. Every night, you stand up. All right? Next time I say, all who wants to be Christians, who wants to be remembered in prayer, to be a Christian, stand up. Stand up, do that revival. And after a while, be months and have another revival. You stand up. Baptist minister there. You stand up, want to be remembered. I meet him out on the street. I say, are you a Christian yet? No. He praying for me, Brother Brandon. All right. Thank you. Well, like that. One night, following the service, I said, all that wants to become Christian, wants to be remembered, what a friend, stand up. There he stood up. I said, come here now. He walked up. I said, what's the matter with you? I don't know. I said, do you want to be a Christian? Said, yes, sir. And I said, why don't you become a Christian? He said, I don't know. I said, there's just something you've got in your heart, you want to be a Christian, but there's something you won't let you be a Christian. Is that right? He said, that's it. I said, that's the devil. And that's unbelief. And I said, do you believe that? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you believe if I'll ask God to break that power of unbelief above you, that you'll be a Christian? He said, yes, sir. And it's just that time when we thought of it, he let out the scream, jumped up in the air like that. It was gone. And a man's a staunch Christian today. What? It's the devil, that unbelief, that old snickering thing there, little shadow to keep him from breaking into it, and the same thing is by healing. You say, well, I've been sick a long time now. Trip along, I couldn't improve from this condition. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus Christ did whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe you receive it, you shall have it. Hallelujah. I believe it, don't you? Yeah. All right. Devil here, let's get the prayer card now. Where did we call last night? What was it? 50. Let's get the last part of tonight. Let's get from 85 to 100 in judgment. That's coming up, up the line, bring your Bible up. All right. Who's got prayer card 85? Raise your hand. W85. 86. 87. 88. 89. 90. On up to 100. Prayer card W85 up to 100. Line up here to my right. Wow. Now, check you ushers and so forth and see if everybody gets there. And if they don't, then let me know when I'll call the line again. All right. Now, if any of the people here in the wheelchair has got cards, they don't have to come to the prayer line up here. Just raise up your hand and let someone hold it up. It's got those numbers. And when that number is called, when you see your place lined up there, just move right up here in front of me. And I can't heal you, friend. But God, if he will, in his mercy, might let me know the reason why that you can't get healed. All right. Now, if you have only faith, can heal your own individual faith. Don't you see what a gift of healing is? A gift of healing isn't something that's in somebody to heal somebody else. The man that's being prayed for has to have a healing. He has to have the faith. Is that right? Excuse me. All right. Now, What do you think, Dad? You think you're going to be able to throw those crutches away and walk home tonight normally?
I hope you are.
What about you, Mother? Then, Sherry, you believe you're just going to be able to get up tonight and walk away from that and go on home and be well?
What about all that, sister, with the braces on your limb and down along the line there?
Do you believe with all your heart?
I tell you what you do. If you just look just away and pray, not look to me as, oh, I don't mean it that way. I mean it in this way. Like Peter said, look on us. They were men. Look on us. And a crippled man looked on his feet if you receive a coin. He said, silver and gold have I none.
But such as I have.
Now such as God will give me, I will give you. Now how many out there tonight have got, I won't call any certain diseases, but just got very bad diseases that hasn't got any prayer part, and you want God to heal you tonight, raise your hands. It's got like, all kinds of diseases. Just raise your hand and say, I'm the group. It's like most of the sick people's pen, right in these three rows right here. All right, you start praying. And the rest of you people, it's well and unhealthy, you pray for them. I believe if you were sick and held up your hands, they'd pray for you. So you all pray, one for the other, confessing your fault, one to another. Is that right? Pray one for another, that you may be healed. Is all the cards in bed? All right, he's got a few out yet that hasn't come in. Now, 85 to one of the Father. May sickness be healed. May the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the crippled walk. We don't have to have any things to believe you, Lord. We believe them anyhow. But if it be your great will tonight that you'll grant these privileges and blessings to us, hear the prayer of your servant as I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Name and so forth on it, and then the night when your number was called, you just, that's all.
God in heaven, who knows all things, and there's no secrets to him. And he makes his secrets known to his servants, his prophets, and he reveals it. Remember Daniel, how he made the king's dream known, how Jesus had seen Nathanael coming and holding him. He knew he'd been praying just before he came. You believe that same Jesus exists today?
Alright.
You believe that I be his prophet, not by any things that I'm here with, but by his sovereign grace, he foresaw that before the world began, and he ordained that I should do this work for him. Now, if I don't do it, hold on to me. Alright. I'm just talking to you in order, like he did the woman at the well, to see if I can get back straight to what the trouble is, you see. Now, I trust that he will do it. Get mercy. He doesn't, or I don't know. But your trouble is in your side. Is that right? In fact, I raise your hand. I see a hole in your side, a whole lot. Pain. That is caused from an accident. Fall. That right? All of a scan. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What it's done is just shut you up. First position. Are those things so true? Was that so what I said? Now, if it is, just turn to the audience so they see. Is that true? Not a man. But so he was here on the microphone, so he can be the Lord.
That's true.
Now the visions have gone, you see. Now, you heard my voice, did you? But that wasn't me. That was the one who's here now present. The one you see in the picture of, the one we spoke of last night. The one that knows all things that's sent from God. He's the one. Now come here, brother. Now, when he met me out there, he told me, I told him, I didn't have enough education.
Is
it something about the bowels or colon? Is that right in the colon? It's got tumors in there, is that right? That tumor's in the colon. And you're up for an operation. And you've been putting that off. Colon, that operation's passed through, isn't it? Yes, sir. And you've been putting it off waiting until I pray for you. Is that right? Is that right?
feeling better, sir?
Yes. I thought so. You're going to get over that nervous and be all right, you know. The blessings are still on you, so don't worry. The blessings placed on you both still. Sometimes days before you can see you. Daniel prayed one time and the angel didn't get there in bars. 21 days, is that right? I've seen the time where women and men have waited for weeks and the first thing all at once has happened. The angel passing through the neighborhood. Who knows the first of him? Watch wherever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Is that right? That's his father. Excuse me, lady, I'm just so attracted to that woman. All right. You look very healthy. You believe? You believe that Jesus Christ will make you well? You believe that I'll be his prophet with all your heart? Now look, this is a kindred something between you and what that lady had. You had to learn also. Is that right? Examination of that. But that tumor you have is in the head. Is that right? You believe? Come here. Our heavenly smile there on the mercy for her realizing this demon with head or not. Oh, may your spirit come near her. Heal her, Lord. May it go away. She may completely go away. Thank you. Young lady with a baby, look this way. You're having trouble with that baby, aren't you? Look this way to me. Do you believe in God's prophet? Aren't you a sinner, young lady, yourself? That's why I raise up your hand. You accept Jesus as your Savior right there where you're standing with your, with the fruit of your womb in your hand. You do. Your baby has a rash on it, don't it? That's what's meant. Is that right? Go ahead home now. The baby's going to get well. Join us with some good Holy Ghost church. Be filled with the Spirit of God. God bless you then. Take it home. It's going to be all right now. The baby will get well. Don't worry. Little lady, you serve God the rest of your days. Do you love me? Raise your hands to the people at the festival. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Suffer from convulsions. You've been having for a long time. You had a series of operations, and you have a lot of persecution home from a husband. That's a great big call, fellas. Is that right? All right, go home and say, Jesus Christ makes me well. reddish looking dress on. It's something I've seen just then, something move above her, a white looking object, and it seemed to be there to send her back. Is that right, lady, where she had her back trouble? And don't you also have something wrong with your eyes? Yes. Now, is she taking x-ray treatments, or is she having some kind of x-rays? Is that right? Is that a raise up your hand if that's right? Stand on your feet and be made well.
Stand up.